Shir, only a few different topics. Very difficult in just a lot of the Metzius. The Gemaras are somewhat challenging. The Gemaras themselves, it's really trying to pull out certain fundamental ideas and Yisodos to Hilchos Brachos. But getting to those points becomes a little challenging. Just finding the Metzius and the various things going on. As we said a number of times, Hilchos Brachos is very intertwined with a number of Zeraim topics, which makes things even more challenging if you don't have the proper background. So we're going to try to take it slow and do the best as we can. So the Gemara in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph talks about a Kore. I think it's pronounced Kore. It's, I think, a heart of palm. Heart of palm, where it is, Rashi explains that it's a soft part of the bark of some sort. I don't know exactly how it grows on the branches. And as the years go on, it eventually gets hard and turns into a bark branch itself. But when it initially starts growing, it's soft, it's something that's edible. We eat hearts of palm. So what's the din? What bracha do you say on a kore? So Rav Yehuda Amar, borei pri hadama. You say hadama? It's not a fruit quite. It's not a date or an apple, but it still grows from the ground. So you say hadama. We'll see the reasons why. And Shmuel Amar shahakol nia bidvara. Machlok is whether you say shahakol or hadama. So what's the basis of the machlokets? So Yehuda Amar, borei pri hadama. Pirahava. It's a piri. You say bore pri hodama. You say call it a pri. However, comes along Shmuel, Amar Shahakol Nebidvaro, hold the sofa lahakshus. Since this heart of palm, if you leave it in the branch in the tree, it's eventually going to harden and it can be something that's inedible. So you say Shahakol now. Even though currently it's edible, since sofa lahakshus, we even view it now as being something somewhat inedible and loses its natural brach. That's the initial explanation. So comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinna kvasech mistaver. Shmuel is moda, he concedes to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, you know, Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. You're right that it should be a borei pri hadama. Why? Why does Shmuel reject his own opinion, his position initially? So Gemara says, Dehat snon sofa lahakshus. Snon is also something that it was initially soft, yet if you leave it in the ground long enough, it also hardens. Yet the halacha is mevarchinen aleh borei pri hadama. So you see the klal is, even though something may start soft and eventually get hard, that does not impact the bracha. So just like it's known that it's soft and gets hard, you still say the bracha, the current state of being soft. So too when it comes to the heart of palm, you say the current state of being soft, namely hadama. This sofo is irrelevant. So then he goes back and retracts, says, you know what? The comparison to tznon is not really so good. Why? Because it's known nite inche adaita de pugla, dikla lo nite inche adaita de kor. This is extremely important yisod. This yisod, as the sugi itself is important for heart of palm, but this yisod is so important it comes up in almost every question of what bracha to say. What's this mean? That when it comes to tznon, nite inche, the people who plant it adas. They plant it with the intention of the vegetable or fruit growing. When it comes to a dikla, this type of palm tree that the heart of palm grow in, lo nite inche adaita dekura. They don't have in mind to have the heart of palm. It happens to come as well, but that's not their intention. So you see, kavana, das, is extremely important in terms of defining a bracha for a proper fruit. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Does it really all depend on das? Is that really true? Isn't there such a tree called a tzlaf? A tzlaf, we're going to get into it later. Let's explain what tzlaf is right now. Tzlaf is a tree that grows different types of food on it. And so there are four things you could eat.
Bush.
That's what it is?
I think
so. Caber bush, yeah?
I think so.
Let's see. Let's take a quick look here. Let's get my Google Translate here. Okay, let's see. I put in Hebrew with slough. Comes up as sniper? No. Caper. It's also a marksman, a sharpshooter, a caper. But a caper, very good. So caper bush, I'm not familiar. What exactly?
It's a
caper
bush.
Okay, so should I Google what a caper bush is?
No.
So, it's apparently this tree, the caper tree, caper bush, which the leaves are edible. The olim are edible. It has also these tamaros that grow on it, or these types of dates that grow on them. It grows, machlok is whether it grows on the tree itself or actually on the leaves. That's not the main fruit, but it is a fruit. And then the main fruit is called evionos. Evionos is the primary fruit of this caper tree. And then there's something called the Friesen, which is the shell around the fruit Avionos. Those are the four things. Again, the leaves, the tamaros, the Avionos, which are the main fruit, and the kafrisin is the shell. So on this thing, the halacha is as follows. They bring a brisa, then when it comes to the leaves and the tamaros, you say hadama, the brisa says. When it comes to the Avionos and that kafrisin, the fruit and the shell, you say ha'etz. So, but people, when they plant the caper bush, or is it tree or bush?
Bush.
They plant the caper bush, they have in mind everything that grows there. So why is there a chilek between certain things are eitz, certain things are adama? It should all be ha'etz because it's a tree, it's a bush, but it's a bush that's a tree. It's a bush, but it's a tree for our purposes. So it's eitz. So what's the chilek? So we see, no. When people plant the caper bush, they planted adas of the shusa, which is the, they have in mind to eat the leaves. Oh, I'm sorry. Question was as follows. People, hold on a second. Right, people have in mind when they plant the caper bush to eat even the shusa, which Rashi says to eat even the leaves, to eat even the tamaros, because they don't affect the tree. So they have in mind everything there. So therefore, you say a bracha on all the things. When it comes to the dikla, there's no intention at all, none whatsoever, to eat from the hartapam, and therefore hartapam is the shakel. A little confusing about all the different details. What the tlaf tree, hartapam. The mice, the Gemara concludes as follows. Even though the Kal says Shmuel of Yehuda, even though initially Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda for his initial statement that one should say Hadama on a Hartapam, the conclusion is Hilchasa Kivasa de Shmuel with Paskin and Skemara that you say Shahakal on Hartapam.
Because of the Kavana reason?
Exactly. Because of the Kavana reason, which may change nowadays. So the important issue right now is that Kavana seems to be very, very relevant. If you look in the Rush in Simon Gimel, he writes, he actually brings two reasons down why you say Shahakol and Hartapam. He says as follows, Shmuel Amar Shahakol Nia Bidvaro, one, the Soful Hakshas, two, the Gamlo Nita Inche Adaite. If he only had one, it wouldn't be enough of a reason to say Shahakol. Hartapam are unique that it gets hard, and also people don't have das. But let's say you have an object people don't have a das for, but it does not get hard, you would still retain its bracha. You need both of those factors. So on this same svara, Pnei Yeshua, working with the Gemara challenged this das issue. It said, I don't understand why it comes to hearts of palm, we only say shakal. So why by the tzlaf tree we say hadama and eight, we say a high bracha? And we asked the question. So Pnei Yeshua said, very simple. The Gemara should have answered because the hartapam has two reasons. It's no das, and it gets hard. Tzlaf only lacks das, but it doesn't get hard. Why didn't the Gemara suggest that according to the Rush? So in fact, the Meiri writes, and you have to check the Metzius, I didn't know what it was till now, but the caper bush, the Meiri says, no, the caper bush also, if you leave it there, eventually these items, the tamaros and stuff, will get hard as well. So they both have those two relevant factors that the Rush requires. In order to bring the bracha down, you need both for it to eventually get hard, and the lack of das. Now, if you look at Tosos seems to argue in the Rush. The Pashas for Gemara, of course, is that he's rejected the concept of Sofa Lahakshas, and it's all about Kavana. So in fact, Tosos seems to only care about Kavana. Tosos writes, this is Lo Nita Insha Daiti Dekori. People don't have in mind of the hearts of palm when they plant these palm trees. So the Gemara Paskins, the Tosos writes, Vesava Gemara Kavasa Dishma Paskin like Shmuel. If that's the case, he says, when it comes to Lulave Gifanim, which are wine leaves, the Lo Nita Insha Adaiti, people don't, or grape leaves, wine leaves, people do not have in mind these leaves when they plant these grapes, these vines and stuff. So therefore you should say a shahakal. Even though they might be edible, since it lacks das, you should only say shahakal. According to the Rush would seem to argue, no, because these leaves will not eventually become hard, so you would still say perhaps hadama or eitz, whatever other criteria might be necessary. The Rush, the Tosfos only seems to care about one issue, the kavan. Now, the difficulty is, if this is true, that the reason why you say on these wine leaves, you only say shahakal because it's all about das, and it doesn't get hard. So, question the Rush also quotes this halacha. The Rush said, when it comes to lulave gefanim, one should only say shakal. Why? Rush requires two simanim. So in fact, in Miri, once again, he says if you leave these leaves in long enough, they eventually get hard as well. It sounds like, I don't know the materials of these things, we'll have to just accept as is for now. Now, according to the Pashas, okay, the way we paskin, of course, it's all about das. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. That's how Tosas writes. It's all about das. We don't really care about the sof lahakshas part. Now, Primi Gadim writes, well, what kind of das? Whose das does it depend on? So Primi Gadim writes, this is in Orachaim Mesim Reish Dalid, the Eish Avram. He writes, even if me'at odam, even if some people plant in this way, that's enough of it to warrant a bracha beyond the shakal. You could say hadama or ha'etz, whatever it is. Shahakal, whenever there's no das, you just say shahakal because it's food. But whenever there is das, you say the appropriate bracha, whether it's hadama or ha'etz. And it doesn't need to be rove. It's enough to have ma'at, even a few people doing this. We also pass from like Tosfos, when you feed these wine leaves, you would say shahakal because there's no das when one plants it. Now another topic that Tosas brings up. Now, I'm not so familiar with these, with nuts. I'm not really a big nut person other than peanuts and maybe pine nuts I like a little bit. But Tosas talks about the end of Dibur Maskil, Lo Nita Inche. He talks about Shkedim. Right? Shkedim are what? Almonds, right? That's not there. So he says, when it comes to Shkedim, so there are people eat them when they're small, when they're undeveloped, and also when they, of course, get developed. So he says, if you eat them when they're underdeveloped, when they're still soft, and you eat the outside shell with it all together, you would only say shahakal, because that's not the initial intention. When people grow almond trees, they have the intention of having it a full ripe shkedim. But if you eat them before they're fully developed, you'd only say shahakal. But if you eat them when they're whole, when a person would only eat the garinim, the seed, the nuts inside the almonds, you don't eat the shell of it, but the only part inside, so then you would say right, then you would say ha'etz on those. Okay?
So
that would
be good for any food or anything else.
So we're going to get into that will be another topic about, in general, ripe, things that are ripe, but yes, you're right. But this issue more is kavana. I mean, you have certain things which they might kavana might be to have it when it's underripe, when it's not ripe yet, and maybe you should still say hadama if it's not fully ripe. But this is just the issue of the kavana. If they had the kavana to plant something when it's not fully ripe, it would be enough. So Rabbeinu Yonah points out there are actually two types of almonds. There's another type of shkedim, which is the opposite, that they're only edible when they're small, but when they get larger, they're not edible anymore. So when they're small, they're called bitter almonds. I'm not sure whether really, but they're what he calls them shkedim marim. So when they're very small, so they're not so bitter yet, it's edible. But once they fully develop, it becomes very bitter, almost edible. I think he said it's even mazik you, and you don't say any bracha at all, unless you were to fry or cook these almonds, making them edible. So there are different types of almonds. But the point being, it's all dependent on kavana. Well, the kavana is where when intention. As a side point, the Rush points out, there's an interesting Mishnah in Gemara and Chulin Chavdal and Mabez, which talks about these different types of shkedim when it comes to meiser. Take meiser. At what point? When it comes to meiser, you only take meiser in a fruit that's fully developed. So when it comes to the big and small shkedim, how does one define it? Does it define based on looking at the object itself? Or does it depend on when I will actually eat it? How does one define it? And the Rush in the back, there's a machlokas rashitosis, and the Rush says it depends on the relationship of hilchas brachos to hilchas meiser. Okay, that's just a side point. Now, Lemaisa, when it comes to Heart of Palm, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Shart Sion from the Bircha Yosef, is it Bircha Yosef? Yeah, the Bircha Yosef, the Chida. He says, Lemaisa, based on the Gemara, times could change. He's talking about the Tzlaf tree in particular, but the way we could extrapolate to our cases, in the times of the Gemara, some heart of palm was not a part of the kavana and the das of the person planting it. Nowadays, there are companies that grow and sell heart of palm, and the palm tree is simply only for the heart of palm. So therefore, according to the Prima Gaudim, if it's enough to have simply ma'at, as long as there are some people, I'm not sure if most palm trees are for heart of palm or not, I assume most are not for heart of palm, but still, at least there's ma'at, so therefore it would not be a shahakal anymore against the Gemara, and you would actually say a hadam. And that's the way all the Hilchos Brachos books paskin. There, this Nevzosa Brachi quotes, and this is Bir Halacha in the end. If you're familiar with the Sefer, it's a great Sefer in Hilchos Brachos. At the end, he has Bir Halachas, and Bir Halachas Siman Lamed Zayin. He says there are some people who advise saying Ha'etz on a heart to palm, that he brings a number of rayos the other way, that you should really only say Hadama, and again, that's how we paskin. There's a similar case to this when it comes to bamboo shoots. I assume they're common in the Japanese restaurants, right? That's my guess. I'm not sure. I think I once had it at a sushi mitsurana. You tell me you like sushi, right? Not sushi mitsurana. Okay, just sushi. So I think they're bamboo. I think my wife would know that. But I think there's a food. You eat bamboo shoots. So these, I guess, grow part of the tree. If you leave them long enough, they become bamboo. If you take them out before they become bamboo, they're edible. So this too also, since people probably, nowadays, they produce it, so they probably plant it on the das of having bamboo shoots to sell to be eaten, you would also say hadama on these items. Okay, so that ends the sugya of korev, heart to palm. So lamaisa, you say hadama and heart to palm, but the yisod that we pull away from the sugya, which is so important, halach lamaisa, is that the kavan and the das is essential to defining what bracha to say in the fruits. Did you have in mind to, or not?
Is the same sugya like orange peels?
Ah, very good. So we're going to get to that. That's like in a few things. We're building all on that. Very good. We're getting there. Is we're all building up on those things. Okay, so now let's transition to tzlaf. And the sugya of tzlaf is very, very complicated because it's intertwined with sugyas of arla and maaser. Now, it begins in lamed vav amud aleph and it carries over almost to the bottom of lamed vav amud beis. And there are a number of sugyas that come from here, all related to hilchos brachos. It's fascinating. You just read the Gemara here. You'd walk away with just like one halacha. Oh, Evyonos, sorry, Kafrisin, which is the shell of the fruit, you say whatever bracha to say. That's what you walk away with. What bracha to say on that outside shell. But you see how the Yishonim work. They pull out and extrapolate these certain fundamental points to point to more related halacha l'maisa. So let's break it down again. So the four edible things that exist on the tzlaf tree. And this is going to relate to Hilchos Maiser, Hilchos Arla, and Hilchos Brachos. Okay, so let's take it slowly. When it comes to the leaves, which are edible, the leaves of this caper bush, everybody agrees, you say hadama on, and it's not subject to arla and not subject to maizah. That everybody agrees on. When it comes to evyonos, which is the ikar pri of the caper bush, do we know the name of that fruit? The fruit on the caper bush, are they called caper fruits? You don't know? Caper, is that what called caper? Is that something that's...
Let's do it. You know, we can do it as well.
We can. I'm just curious to know, like, am I talking about something I actually eat?
Like,
no, because evyonos comes, it's just as a poverty. Yeah. Apple.
So what is this? What were we saying about the...
It's evyonos, so that's the ikapri. That, everybody agrees, is ha'etz. And everybody agrees it's subject to the Isser Arla, and it's subject to the dinum of Maisa. Everybody agrees to that. The things that are subject to a debate are the two things in the middle. The tamaros, which are these date-type fruits that grow either on the leaves themselves or on the actual bark of the tree. So those are like kind of fruit, but not the main fruit. And the other machlok, and also in regards to the kafrisin, which is this outer shell on top of these caper fruit. So in that regard, there's a Mishnah in Maisras, Perek Dal Mishnah Vav, Machlok is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva. We're going to take this slow. If I go too fast, let me know. So Rabbi Eliezer says, when it comes to tzlaf tree, all these things, again, we're no longer discussing tomorrows. It's for sure no Meiser. When it comes to tzlaf tree, Rabbi Eliezer says, the tomorrows, the avionos, and the kafrisin, all of those three items are subject to Meiser. I mean, everyone says. The other two is really a debate, tomorrows and kafrisin. Kiva says, Ein misaser el avionos bilvad. Only avionos are subject to Meiser. Tomorrows and kafris are not. Why? Mipnei hu apri. Avionos is the fruit. The other things are not fruit, and therefore, if it's not a fruit, arla only applies to fruit trees and the fruit of the tree. Meiser only applies to fruit. Now, Meiser, just as a side point, I ask you a question. What's deraisa? Meiser, which fruit are deraisa? Nope. So everyone agrees, Meiser Yerek, when it comes to vegetables, Meiser Yerek is for sure Dirabanan. And most Rishonim hold that Dagon Tiosh Vitzarcha, the Pasuk says Dagon Tiosh Vitzarcha, which are grains, oil, or olives, and grapes. Those three items. The five grains, which is one item, grapes and olives are subject to Meiser Derai. So everyone agrees. And most Rishonim say all other fruit are only Dirabanan. the Rambam's well-known shita is that all fruit are deraisa. So Rashi here points that out, that he doesn't quote the Rambam, of course. He says, Dagon Tiosh V'Tzarcha are the only things deraisa. So here they argue, Rabbi Elazar and Akiva, whether you include Tamaros and Vionos within Meiser or not. Rabbi Elazar says it is Meiser, Rabbi Akiva says it's not. How do you paskin? So the Gemara says, there's another klal to know. I know there's not a lot of new topics here. This klal is follows. Kol ha-mekel ba'aretz halach k'moso b'chutzlart. Exactly. Whoever is mekel in Eretz Yisrael, although we may not follow him in Eretz Yisrael, we will follow that lenient shita in chutzlartz. Okay, great. So if that's true, so now we know we've got to follow Rabbi Akiva in chutzlartz, that Meiser only applies to Evionos. And we're going to follow Rabbi Elazar Lechora in Eretz Yisrael, that not only are Evionos subject to Meiser, but also are the kafrisin, the shells, and the tamaros, the dates that grow on this tree or leaves. Okay, so now, that being said, I think we're clear on that? Everyone's good?
Who said no Meiser again? Who's the topic?
Rabbi Akiva says Meiser only applies to Evionos.
Right.
Rabbi Ezra says it applies also to the Tamaros and Kafrisim. So now, in terms of how we pass, and the Gemara tells us, it depends. Eretz Yisrael, we have the Chumra. It applies to all them, the Meiser. Chutz La'aretz, it does not apply. And the same should hold true for Arla. Arla's Chutz La'aretz is going to be make like Rabbi Akiva. And Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be like Rabbi Elazar. It applies to the other fruits as well. So we're going to skip through anyone following. I'm not sure if anyone's following the Gemara right now. We're going to skip a lot of the Gemara right now. And the end of the Gemara, along the above of the Beis, there's words like five lines in parentheses. And the parentheses says as follows: the halacha is like Mar Rav Ashi. What did Mar Rav Ashi do or say? During Arla, he took the Evionos and threw the Evionos away, the fruit, because it's Usher in Arla. But he ate the Kafrisin. He ate the shells. Okay, so why? So it must be, the Gemara says, from the fact that Arla, it's not a pre, that these kafrisim, and the question we want to do right now is, forget tomorrow's right now. We're going to discuss what's the bracha on kafrisim, what's the bracha we say on these shells. He said, when it comes to Meiser and Arla, in Eretz Yisrael, it's subject to Meiser, and Chutz La'aretz, it's not subject to Meiser and Arla. So what bracha do you say on it? If you look in Eretz Yisrael, when it's subject to Meiser and Arla, it looks like a fruit. You should say eitz. But if you look to the dinim in Chutz La'aretz, kafrisin are not fruit. Kafrisin are mutter. There's no arla. Kafrisin are not subject to meiser, so maybe you should say hadama. So that's the question. So the Gemara passes the end, that since Mar Rav Ashi in Chutz La'aretz, he threw the avionus away, the fruit, but he ate the kafrisin, the shell of it, it must be that just like in regards to arla, the kafrisin is not a pira, it's not a fruit, so to regards to Hilchos Brachos, it's also not a fruit. And therefore, what bracha do you say? Hadam. Ha'itz Hadam are the question to him. He says they say Hadam. Because it's not a fruit.
Why don't you hackle? Why is that like a consideration? You remember the problem we said, we should hackle, no, but why not Hadam up there also? Same kind of catch to the plant.
No, because everyone said, everybody agreed that everyone had kavana when they planted it. For when you plant a tzlatch, you have kavana also for these kafrisin. But is it considered a fruit? Then it says ha'etz, it's part of the fruit tree. If it's not fruit, it's simply something that grows.
In the middle of it. I can know if there's das, but it's not a fruit, or not a
dama. Right. So we're kind of turning away from the das right now. Das, we're assuming there is das. We're defining what's considered the fruit of the tree, what's not considered the fruit of the tree. Anything that is a fruit of the tree, you say the bracha. Anything that's not the fruit of the tree, you say, sorry, anything the fruit of the tree, you say ha'etz. Anything that's not the fruit of a tree, though grows on the tree, would be a hadam. And this all assuming there's a kavanah. So that's the opinion of the Gemara. And however, the Gemara is in parentheses, though. And many Rishonim say this was not really the Gemara. This is actually the Bahad, the Halachas Gedolos, his parish, and it somehow got into the Gemara. So Tosus actually argues. Tosus says one should say ha'etz on these shells, at least kafrisim. Now, what's the reasoning? So listen carefully. He says as follows. What do you do in Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael, kafrisin, we said, is considered a fruit. Kafrisin and Eretz Yisrael were machmir like Rabbi Eliezer, and we say it's subject to Meiser, and it's subject to Arla, and therefore kafrisin is a full-fledged fruit, and therefore it says ha'etz. Ah, you look at the Chutz La'aretz, you don't have Meiser, it's not subject to Arla? So it's not a fruit in Chutz Aretz? No, no. It's a fruit everywhere. There's a special halach, he writes, called Mekel Ba'aretz, halach Kamoso, B'Chutz La'aretz. No, the real halach is Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is a fruit. We've had Raya, there's Arla, and there's Meiser. There's a special exception when it comes to Chutz La'aretz. But B'etzim, it's really a fruit, and therefore you say Ha'etzah. So that's the opinion of Tosfos. However, the Rif does have this opinion. And you have to figure out what's going on here. Why is the Rif Paskin this way? So, you look in the Rif, actually, it's very interesting. When he says the halachas of the Arla, the Gemara says we only Paskin that that Kafrisin are not subject to Arla in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara says that. The Rif is against us. But, right. So when the Rif records the Gemara, the Gemara says Kafrisin is subject to Arla. Sorry, Kafrisin exempt from Arla in Chutz La'aretz, but Schaiv and Arla in Eretz Yisrael. The Rif completely leaves out this distinction. He doesn't talk about Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael. He just says Kafrisin is mutter in Arla, implying everywhere it's mutter in Arla. And it sounds like from the Rif, he paskins across the board, it's not a fruit. It's not a fruit against Tosfos. It's mashma from that language of the Gemara, the Baal Halachos Gedolos. It says la piraho. If it's a la piraho, if it's not a fruit, so then the halacha should be it's not subject to orla, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in Chutz La'aretz. Is everyone with me still? I know it's challenging. So it comes out at this point as follows. Everyone agrees, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we always look to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. What's the status of an Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos and the Rif just argue, is a Kafrisin pre or not? Tosfos says it's a pre, look in Eretz Yisrael, you keep Arla. So you say, Ha'itz. Rif says, it's not a pre because you don't keep Arla in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore say Hadamo. So they're just arguing whether it's a fruit or not, but they agree the halachas always look to what happens in Eretz Yisrael, what the halachas in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The Rabbeinu Yonah, however, it says the Rif is not like that, actually. Even though the Rif himself leaves out the chilik between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, he really meant it. He explained how he meant it, somehow.
You really meant to say that it's different?
Yeah, he really meant that they're different. Namely, that Kafrisin are only subject to Arla and Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz. Even though he left the distinction out, he thinks he brought it in some other place. So, if that's the case, that Kafrisin are subject to Arla in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz, so then why does the bracha Hadamah, according to the Rif? The Rif says you say Hadamah. If we said the first shot that he says it's not a fruit anywhere, so then I understand why you say Hadamah. But once he's saying Kafrisin is subject to Arla in Eretz Yisrael, how could you say you're saying Hadamah if Eretz Yisrael is a fruit? How can you say Hadamah? You with me on that?
Yes.
Sir? This is the question we're raising. Rabbeinu Yonah simply says the Rif does distinguish. In Eretz Yisrael, Kafrisin are subject to Arla. But in the question, if it's subject to Arla, and therefore it's a fruit, you should say Ha'etz, not Hadamah like the Rif Paskin. Paskin says Hadamah. So how could it on one hand be an Hadamah and on the other hand be subject to Arla in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah? Okay, I know it's challenging, especially if you didn't see the stuff in, it's really challenging. So that could be along the lines we were saying what a number of the Akhorim answer, but it won't. I don't think it works well for the Rif though.
What about if you first the Rif says they don't do it?
Initially he doesn't, but the Rabbeinu Yonah was so convinced. How could the Rif go against the Gemara, even though he didn't say it, he meant it? So if he meant it according to the Rabbeinu Yonah that it should be subject to Arla and Eretz Yisrael, then it should be a fruit, and you should say, hey, it's not Hadamah.
Say that the whole tree, the whole
stem,
is subject to Arla, regardless of like each part being considered
mace? Interesting. I don't think so, because the Gemara, as the Mishnah was talking about, the only thing subject to Arla is the fruit itself, and the special gzeres hakasav of S. It says S. Es ha-tuffel, if you're saying that's tuffel, which they say is the shomer, the shell around it. We're going to get to a little bit about the Gemara itself asks, shouldn't kafrisin also be a shell, the shomer of the pri? So not everything. It has to be only the fruit and additional inclusions. But this is not one. It's a good question. So how are we going to get out of this problem? On one hand, it's subject to Arlen et Yisrael. On the other hand, you say Hadam. So the Madi Yontif, one of the Perushim on the bottom, the Rush in the back, and Ozain, and the Shagas Aryeh Simon Chav Gimel, and the Shuas Oneg Yontif, the end of Simon Yudal, all these, answer as follows. Basically, what you're saying, that really it is a fruit. Really is a fruit, and that's why in Eretz Yisrael there is an Isser Arlen. However, there's a special Gzeres Kasav, or a special rule, not Gzeres Kasav, it's probably Lach Mosh Min Sinai. Kol HaMekav Aretz Lach Mosh B'Chutz La'aretz, which dictates to us that Chutz La'aretz, it's not subject to Arla. Okay, nothing to do with Hilchas Brachos right now. It's really a fruit, subject to Arla, special leniency we have in Chutz La'aretz. Now, what's the problem? So let's say it's a fruit in Eretz Yisrael, so what Brachos should you say? Heitz. So you're going to walk around here in Woodmere, you're going to take a fruit, on the first year you grew it, and you're going to say ha'eitz on it, even though it's in the first year and not subject to Arla, tar to this aser. If it's a fruit, so it should be keeping Arla. If it's not a fruit, so it shouldn't be. It's a tar to this aser. You can't say ha'eitz on it's not subject to Arla. So it's once we say it's not subject to Arla anymore, so we're just going to be, just to avoid any stira, we therefore say hadama, because of course a hadama could cover even a fruit. Now this pshat assumes that really be'etzem kafrisin is a fruit. That was not, it was really a fruit, but just because it looks weird outside, you say hadam. Now this answer won't really work for the Rif, because the Rif explicitly said, as he quoted the Baal Halachos Gedolos, he said, lav pirahu. Says kafrisin is not a pira, and therefore it's not subject to arla, and therefore not subject to the halachas of the brach of heitz. So that won't really work well, although it's a very interesting and intriguing answer. I'm not sure if they're coming to answer necessarily the question of the Rif, but this won't suffice. So Rabbeinu Yonah gives his own answer. Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. Well, the first two pshat that we had, the Rif and the Tosas, was Tosas says it's vadai a fruit in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why you say ha'etz. He wasn't concerned with the tarak to the sasari chutzlar. It's vadai fruit. And the Rif initially said vadai not a fruit. And there's no, across the board, this is according to the simple pshat, there's no arla in Eretz Yisrael, no arla in chutzlar. It's a vegetable. For sure you say adama. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's actually a suffix. We don't know whether it's a fruit or a vegetable, because that's the machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar, do you take meiser? So we don't know how to paskin. So since it's a suffix, we apply the normal rules of suffix. So let's go through them. Safek Arla Eretz Yisrael L'chumra. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael Yechayiv, it's Aser and Arla first years. Safek Arla Chutz La'aretz, the halacha is, the Mishnah tells us L'kula. So that's why Chutz La'aretz Kafrisin are not subject to Arla. And when it comes to Brachos, even though you're saying it's Arla in Eretz Yisrael and it's Vegetable Chutz La'aretz, Safek Brachos L'hakel, and therefore you can still say Hadam. There's not a steer in the Rif. Even though the Rif says you do keep Arla in Chutz in Eretz Yisrael, you could still say Hadamah. Because we're not saying it's a Vandai, a fruit in Eretz Yisrael. We don't know it's a fruit. So it's a Safek, so it's not a steer anymore. It's a Safek, you have to apply the normal dinim of Sfekus. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah gets out of the issue. Now the Tzlach has a very, very interesting answer as well. Tzlach quotes a Tosfos in he says, Tosas there writes, that there's a machlokas in general, whether kitshul shniyah, kitshul asur lavo or not, where the second sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim lasted forever or did not. So, according to the opinion, that did not last. It does no longer remain. So, that's the case, Tosas writes. Nowadays, Truma and Kalayim are only Chayiv Midrabanan. The halachas of Truma and the Kalayim are only Chayiv Midrabanan because there is no longer Kedusha. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Machalos of Suros, Perek Yud Halachidaf, says, the Huadin when it comes to Arla. Arla also will not be chayv midiraisa anymore because there's no longer kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what happens? So now that there is no longer kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no distinction of Eretz Yisrael chutzlart. The entire world becomes chutzlart. There's no concept of Eretz Yisrael. So once the entire world becomes chutzlart, so then you apply the normal din of suffix chutzlart, even in Eretz Yisrael. Everything becomes suffix chutzlart, and that's why the Rif Paskins across the board that the kafrisin is going to be not a fruit, and there's no arla, and you say hadamana. And he had a lengthy discussion talking about the opinion of the Rama. Now, Lamaisa, there's not like too much Lamaisa here because we're talking about like a slaf tree here, but still, Shulchan Aruch brings it down because this is a very important, there's a very important Magen Avraham which we'll get to, not tonight probably, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, since it's a suffix, the Turin Shulchan Aruch Paskin, since it's a suffix, what do you say? Okay, it's backtrack. The Avionos, if you ever come to a caper tree, you could eat the fruit and you say, well, if it's not in the first 3 years, you eat the fruit in 4 years. Eat the fruit and you say hayitz. If you're eating the shell, that's what we're discussing right now, the shell of it, whatever that looks like, so that's the machlokas, and since it's a machlokas, to remove yourself from any machlokas, you'd say hadama, because that covers both opinions. The Rabbi Kivega writes, if you were to say hayitz accidentally on these kafrisin, it covers it, because there are opinions out there which the chachida says you should say hayitz. Okay, so that's the, but it's important to know, because there's very important nosei kalim. Sometimes you're like, the simon itself is very irrelevant, but the nosei kalim brings such important issues up. So it's good to know that very background. Okay, so let's keep going now. I'm going to keep going. So the Gemara also quotes, in this discussion, quotes a Mishnah, the Mishnah or Brisa? It's a Mishnah. In Arla, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Ches. Now the Mishnah says as follows. Klipe Rimon. This is the shell of the pomegranate. The Hanet Shelo. Hanet Shelo is like, Rashi is like the little flower on top. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's an additional shell. On top of the peel, there's, I think, some shiny part of the pomegranate on the outside. I think that's what he's talking about. Then, hold on a second, where'd the line go? And also, the klipe egozim, the shells of egozim, and of hagarinim, chayovim ba'arla, and the pits, the seeds inside, are all subject to arla. Okay. So here, Tosas writes as follows. Tosas in the top writes from klipe egozim, he says, from here we learn that you're supposed to say a bracha on garinim. You're supposed to say a bracha on pits and on seeds, pits of good gardenios. What does that mean? Tahara, right? Or the seeds of afraskin, or those pears or something. And then tafuchim, the pits of apples. Any types of seeds, pits, you're supposed to say bracha, because just like it's subject to arla, the Mishnah says it's subject to arla, and therefore it's a fruit. So too, the halachas of arla and brachos are the same. You say bracha on seeds and pits. Okay, so that's what the Tosas writes. Now the Rashba comes along and he argues. The Rashba says, seeds and pits are not included in fruit at all. The only reason why it's subject to arla, these seeds, because there's a special gzeiras kasuv that the Gemara brings earlier. The Gemara says as follows, the pasuk says, arlosem, arloso, espirio. What does it mean, espirio? Es hatafel, the pure, that which is secondary to the fruit. What's that? The Gemara says, shomer lepri, the shell. The Rashba says it doesn't only include the shell, that's also the explanation for the seeds inside. The seeds are also secondary to the actual fruit. So the seeds are also included, but it's only because there's a special gzeiras hakasuv of S that's subject to Arla. Had there not been this pasuk S, it wouldn't be subject to Arla because it's not a fruit. For Hilchos Bracha, since there's no drasha, you should not say ha'etz on these fruit. And furthermore, he writes, many times seeds and pits are very bitter and not even edible at all. So the Rush writes, like the Tosfos, the Rush writes that you do say bracha on seeds and pits. You say the bracha of ha'etz because it's part of the fruit. And it sounds like it's not part of the drasha of es. It's part of the fruit. You don't need the drasha es. Seeds are part of the fruit. That's subject to arla. Right, shomer, when it comes to shomer, for sure, the shomer of the pre, the shell and the peel is for sure included only through the word es. When it comes to the seeds, that's a little ambiguous. So Rashba thinks that's also learned through S, and Tosas in Rashi, no, it's not learned through the S, it just, that's part of the fruit. So the Madani Yomtov there, and the Rashi asks, the Rashi himself, in Hilchos Arla, writes, that how do you know that the seeds are subject to Arla? Because of the Pasuk S. So on one hand, he uses S to include seeds, but in Hilchos Brachos, he seems to indicate that you don't need the S to include it. In fact, it's part of the fruit. So there's another steer in the rush. Is the seed part of the fruit, or is it simply included through the S? That's the steer Madani Yom Tov asks. The bracha, you said. What is it? Exactly. Now, furthermore, writes the Hagos Yavetz and others, ask the question, that very Mishnah that it brings, that the how do we know that seeds are included in Arla? The very Mishnah at the end says they're exempt from Neter Vai. They're exempt from the Dinim of the fourth year of bringing it to Yerushalayim to eat. So if it's true what the Tosin and the Rush write, that the seeds are mamish part of the fruit, that's why you say a bracha on them. So they should also be subject to Neter Vai, if they're really a fruit. So it must be that they're only Arla because it's special Gzeiras HaKasuv.
So Arla is separated from Neter Vai.
Very good. So we discussed a little bit last year in Sukkah, don't remember, a little bit about the relationship of Neter Vai and Arla, how connected they are. But yeah, they're... If it becomes part of the fruit, we're going to get to a little bit of these distinctions, but if it's mamish part of the fruit, so then everything's going to apply to both cases. If it's only a special inclusion through a drush of S, that only applies to S when in context of Arla, does not apply to Neter Vai. So I understand, if the Mishnah itself tells us that the seeds are not subject to Neter Vai, is that not a great raya that's not part of the fruit? It's only included through S? So those are two kashas on the opinion of the Rush. At one hand, he seems to say that it is part of the fruit, but yet he brings the drush of S, and furthermore, Neter Vai is not, the seeds are not subject to Neter Vai the fourth year. So, the Tzlach has a very fascinating shot here. Tzlach says, you look at a pit. The pit is what we know is like the hard little thing, but if you break open most pits, there's going to be something edible inside. I guess kind of like bones outside. I never really open up a pit, but there's something soft. There's food inside these pits. So that's the difference, he says. Here, the Gemara is talking about, and the Rush and Tosa is talking about when you say bracha on that which is inside the pits, that which is edible. That's the Rush. The Rush says that's part of the fruit because it's edible. When the Rush in Hilchos Arla says the word S, that word S is coming to include the hard part of the shell, the inedible part. That's part of Arla. Okay. Now, according to the Tzlach, then what would have to happen is that there should be a distinction in Neter Vai. The Mishnah says unequivocally that Neter Vai does not apply to seeds, but that should only be the hard part of the seeds, the hard part of the pit. The soft, edible part should be subject to Neter Vai if we're saying it's a fruit. So in fact, the Chidushi Anshe Shem, on his comments on the Mishnah in Arla, Perak Al Falachaches, Mishnah Ches, he says, he quotes the Tzlach and says, L'fi Tzlach, Einachanami, yes, it would be included, it would be subject to the Dino of Neter Vai. So there's a distinction. There's a hard part, which is not edible, not subject to anything, but the special Pasuk S includes it to specifically Arla. But then the Mat, which is inside the edible part, that's subject to Bracha, it's subject to Arla, and it's subject to Neter Vai. So that's a beautiful shot of the Tzlach. Now, I saw in the Ha'aros of the Tosas Rush, this is the Ha'aros of Rimei, Rav Yisrael Sklar, and he quoted from a number of Svarim, Yad David and the Einayim LeMishpat, and they gave a different Pshat. The Pshat they brought was as follows. There are two types of ways to learn the Drush of S. When we say S comes to include something that's now falling under the category of Hilchos Arla, it could be saying one of two things. Either that it's simply including the shell, the outside part, which is completely separate from the fruit, Or it's coming to include something that teaching us that it's part of the fruit now. When it comes to the shomer, the peel, that just tells us it's chayv narla, but not that it's part of the fruit. However, when it comes to seeds, it is. The word es is part of the drasha. But the S is teaching us that it becomes part of the fruit. It's hard to say something inside the fruit is not part of the fruit. So again, S is teaching us both the shomer, the peel, and the seeds. But it accomplishes two different things. The shell just tells us it's chayv arla, but not part of the fruit. When the S, which is used to include seeds, comes to tell you not only is it subject to arla, it's actually a chalek from the fruit. Now once we say that, there's no steer in the rush anymore. When the rush says in Hilchas Arla, it's learned through S, it is learned through S, but it teaches us something more than the shell. It teaches us that it's part of the fruit mamish. So that's the case. So why don't we see, so then it should be also subject to Neter Vai, if it's part of the fruit, the teaching. No. Neter Vai, he quotes a Yushalmi, it says when it comes to Neter Vai, you need the, what's the lashon he uses? You need the pre-gamor. You need the complete fruit, the fruit itself. The standards are higher for Neter Vai. The inside part, the seeds themselves, although it's part of the fruit, it's not mamish the fruit, and that's not enough of the fruit to be subject to Neter Vai. So basically, he's making a chilek Neter Vai, perhaps because you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, and it's supposed to be the simcha, so you're only subject to bring the real meat of the fruit. As opposed to arla, which is an iser, so that iser kind of expands itself to any aspect of the fruit. That might be what's going on behind it. Now what comes out is the explanation of the tzlach versus the explanation of the yad david and the haros and tos derash is, are the seeds, are these pits mamish fruit or not? The tzlach says, yes, they're mamish fruit, they're edible. According to the haro and tos derash, they're part of the fruit, but not mamish the fruit. Okay, so one nachman we already saw was, is it subject to Neter Vai? If it's like the tzlach, that the inside of the pits are really mamish the fruit, so it's subject to Neter Vai. If it's like the ha'aros and tzlach's rush, it's not mamish part of the fruit, and therefore not subject to Neter Vai. Now another nachman would be as well, is arlos chutzlarts. I might be losing you guys a little bit here, but the arlos chutzlarts, we said before, that, I'm going to forget that point even. I'm going to forget that point. Now, Lemaisa, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he paskins like the Tosfos and the Rush, that you do say a bracha on seeds, you do say a bracha ha'etz on seeds and pits. If they're very bitter, then you don't say any bracha. Now, the Gra comes along and paskins like the Rajba. Rajba rejected Tosfos. He said, no, it's not ha'etz. Now it was unclear in the Rajba, when the Rajba rejected Tosfos, Tosfos said you say ha'etz because it's fruit. When the Rajba rejected, did he say you don't say anything? Did he say you say shehakol? Did he say you say aldama? So machlokas, the Shaar Tzion brings machlokas what bracha you say, but most say the Rajba thought you make ha'adama. So the Gra says if you eat a pit or a seed, you say ha'adama. That's what the Gra writes. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of the fruit itself. I don't think that's the pit. But it gets like a little hard when you get closer, not the actual pits.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never got that far in that element. So the Mishnah Berurah follows the Gra, that if you eat a pit, or if you eat seeds or anything, we'll give some examples, you say ha'dama like the Gra, but if one were to say ha'etz, on pits or seeds, that would be covered also, because there are those who do say ha'etz, like Tosfos. Now, everyone also agrees, let's say you have an apple, or you eat the fruit, and afterwards you eat the seeds, as continuation, they say for sure what bracha you said on the initial fruit covered. You don't have to say a separate bracha on it as well. Meaning, let's say you had an apple, you said ha'etz on the apple, you don't have to say a new hadama on if you eat the pits of the apple afterwards. It's covered by the initial bracha. Now, it comes up in a few cases, let's say pumpkin seeds. Apparently they sell pumpkin seeds, yeah? They sell pumpkin seeds? So what bracha do you say in pumpkin seeds? So, it says as follows. If they mamish sell pumpkin seeds and it's produced and selling in the store, so they grew these pumpkins for the pumpkin seeds themselves. So, you remember we spoke about kavana before. So since the kavana was for the seeds, so you say the hadama. If it wasn't part of the kavana, let's say you just had pumpkins and happened to have some leftover seeds, you saved it on your own. So this pumpkin was grown for the pumpkin. the seeds were just an afterthought. So you would say a shahakal, meaning our whole discussion of saying hadama on seeds is only when you had kavana for the seeds when planting it. If you didn't have kavana, remember the case with Dilad, again, before in Kore, if there wasn't kavana, it brings it down to shahakal. So if there's kavana for the seeds, then you say hadama. That's the case of pumpkin seeds. The same old shoes for sesame seeds, also, you would say hadama and sesame seeds because it's planted for the sesame seeds. However, one should know, oftentimes sesame seeds are only used in some type of dressing or some additive of some sort, and therefore it would oftentimes be the tafel, you wouldn't oftentimes say, or a bracha on sesame seeds. And sunflower seeds, those sunflower seeds are grown for the sunflower seeds, and therefore you'd also say hadama. Okay, so we'll stop here. I know we did a lot. And I still have a few minutes left, but we're not going to do anything more. What we'll do on Monday night is talk about peels, orange peels and whatnot. And what else are we going to do? I'm not sure. All right, we'll figure it out. Just give it.